Hi, everyone. A quick announcement before we get going on the episode today. On Monday, we will be dropping a very special episode. It is our 3-year podcasting anniversary. So since we have some new listeners, we figured we could do a little reintroduction, talk about podcasting of years past and what we hope for the future. If that's something you're interested in, please come check it out.
Not to get too deep in the weeds of that, but I can't believe it's been 3 years.
Me neither. It's flown by.
How many episodes are we up to now?
I have no idea. I haven't checked in so long.
No, it's been a blast, and I'm excited to cover this episode of Married at First Sight with you.
Ah, this long season has come to an end.
So are we still holding true to about 6 months-ish of runtime for the season?
Yep, 6 months.
When do you think we're getting the next season?
It hasn't been announced, but I really hope it's in fall. Like, give me a break. I don't even want summer, but it'll probably be like June, July, I assume. It's also pouring rain out, so if you can hear that in the background, apologies.
It's a mix of wind and thick rain that it almost sounds like it's slapping against the window.
It is a beautiful spring day in the Northwest. I did not think the Married at First Sight, Where Are They Now episode was needed. I feel like we already have so much information, too much information about these people's lives after the show.
For me, it's a mixture of a few things. Like you said, you're already getting so much detail of what's going on in their lives from the previous 3-ish episodes. So you kind of know where people are at. You know if they're dating someone. You know what they've been up to. But then when I, as a casual viewer, you know, I'm trying to put my casual viewer hat on. No, not to be mean or anything, but I don't really care what happens to the people. I mean, obviously I want them to do good, find love, that stuff. But as far as like checking up on them, I'm personally not going to do that. I don't. And it's honestly, some of them probably appreciate that. They don't want the constant attention or people to be constantly judging every action they're doing. So I'm like, you know what? I enjoyed, or in this case, maybe did not enjoy the season. I wish you the best. I hope you have a good life, but I'm not going to be checking up on you. So in that sense, these episodes don't add a lot of value to me when putting my casual viewer hat on.
Cam and Brennan said, I am here just so I don't get fined. And that's exactly the attitude I would take at this point if I was on the show.
Which probably brings a point I missed is that, for the most part, when we've seen these catch-ups or Where Are They Nows, they really don't give you much.
No, there's nothing. The inverse of Cam and Brennan is Claire and Emily saying, I'm here whenever you need me. Any scene I will be in.
It was wild. In the first half of this episode, it really did feel like Claire was in almost every single scene.
Yeah.
Like any get together that was planned, Claire was going to be a part of it.
Why is that? She's not the most interesting person on the show. Is it availability?
Why did they try to sell this storyline of her new boyfriend that lives multiple states away being the most interesting thing we can talk about, which I did not care about personally?
Okay, but did you know she had a boyfriend? Because they'll confirm at least 3 times.
There's always something in a show that they're trying to highlight. And it's those funny things where if you played a drinking game, like you would just either pass out or just like would not make it. And this is one of them. Like anytime they mention Claire's new boyfriend, just take a drink, take a shot, whatever's your thing. Like you would not make it through this episode.
Speaking of taking a drink, the episode opens with Claire going to Lauren's place to make martinis. We get a very quick update. Claire's working with adolescents. I think that's a good fit for her.
I think so as well. Although I feel like in some ways, some of the decisions she made and the way she dealt with conflict, mm-hmm. I don't know how that would work when you have a patient. Or maybe you know from your own history of like a good way to approach conflict and a bad way to approach conflict.
Well, okay. I just think it's a better age range for her than maybe adults. And you can connect those dots however you want to. But I don't know Like, if that was my therapist, I don't know if I would connect with her. Do you need to connect? I don't know.
Wouldn't it be wild if you walked in for therapy and Claire was there?
I'd just go, No, I already know
too much about you. I'm sorry. I just can't be your patient.
And no, you're definitely like telling your friends. No. Can't do this. I really wished that we learned more about Claire's boyfriend, because this is the first time we hear about him, but we hear about him multiple other times, but we don't know anything about him other than he lives in Seattle. Not even how they met. Just that he has met the girls and that's it.
There's a few things I wish we did get from this whole boyfriend fiasco is that, and we didn't get this answered, is how did they meet? I don't think we got that answered. Did they reach out because they found out about you on the show? Like, what was the, that's really the thing I'm interested in, is like, how did you meet this person from Seattle?
Yeah, exactly. How did you meet? How long have you been together? Have you met the parents? I don't know. Just give me something if it's going to be such a big reoccurring thing.
And the reason that's important is because it allows me to frame or judge if this is going to work out in the end.
I was just going to say that. I was going to be like, it lets me judge you in that relationship.
And like you mentioned, I mean, yes, you've met the friends I've been on this show, but like, have you met my parents? Like, when someone says things are serious, but then you say no, they haven't met your parents, I'm like, well, how serious is this?
Yeah, or like all of your siblings that you're so close with. They did have a great name for Orion, though. A liar. I'll admit it. It's good.
It was pretty good. I didn't like... Okay. It was a good nickname, but they were all lying on the tell-alls.
Yeah, good point. Good point. They all got a little bit of a liar, right? Lauren never thinks of him, doesn't want a friendship, and I think that's the best for her. Just move on, clean cut. There is nothing to talk about. Though in all of his segments, it's all about some type of connection he wants, and I would not allow that, Lauren.
I hear her, but in the way they talk about that, I just don't feel like they're over it. Kind of like how Chloe and Michael talk about it. They seem more amicable and they're more positive about their break. Not positive about the breakup, but they're positive about their futures and kind of going their own separate way. Whereas when I hear other couples talk about it, like Lauren, I don't feel like you're in a good space yet.
No, I think she's in a great space because she has fully cut him out.
I could see that. But it's the experiment. It's not like someone you would just, you met them, maybe you thought they were attractive and you approached them and this started this like beautiful romance and then you had all these emotions and then maybe something horribly wrong happened or inevitably you found out it wasn't meant to be. So like there's a lot of foundation there, a lot of impact where you could be hurt, whereas I'm like, this was an experiment. Like you said, you only know this person for 8 weeks. Why do you have such strong feels towards them in a negative way? Is kind of the way I think about this breakup. Why are you so negative when they were only like it's only 8 weeks of your life?
Well, think about that in another lens. It's only 8 weeks of your life. So yeah, why do we need to keep it going? Why do we gotta like try to be friends? We weren't friends before. There was no attraction. There's nothing here. What is this serving me?
That's fair. That's fair.
I just wouldn't have like, oh, this guy was a liar and a weirdo. Like, I'm not hanging out with him. I'm not talking to him. Like, that's how I viewed it. It's like, I wouldn't want that.
Maybe it's in the way their personalities just couldn't mesh, which is leading to this description of Orion or how they see their future going without him.
Just a little too manipulative for me to want in my life. You don't get to like slut shame me and then be like, oh, but a bridge to friendship. No, no.
That's right. I don't want people to think that I'm like an Orion defender or anything like that.
It's getting pretty.
No, no.
Stay on your side of the room.
Not at all. I just. Yeah. When you mentioned the what has transpired, it does sound really bad. So maybe I would have a reaction just like Lauren.
You're just thinking of like, I'm thinking of this specific scenario and you're thinking of like a person that it wasn't horrible, but it's like a decent person in your world.
It just didn't work out. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And I'm not going. We then see Michael go to a tattoo shop to get a tattoo to honor his dad and his uncle. I'm surprised that he hasn't talked to Chloe since the reunion, because I feel like, obviously of anyone, they have the most, might be a stretch to call it chemistry, but friendliness, I guess. But maybe it's that exact scenario where Chloe and Michael, don't feel like they need them in their lives.
Yeah, Michael was on an episode of Little Miss Recap, which is definitely a pod you should also check out. But in that, he also mentions that it was several months mm-hmm. where they hadn't talked. And I'm like, that is a really long time for someone you're in a decent standing with.
Just go back a little bit, just to what you said. Little Miss Recap had Michael on, and it was so good. You got a little bit of insider info. If you listen to the podcast, it's really fun because there's all these like insider jokes that Michael knew.
So which, Michael is a fan.
And it like made me like him more, getting to see like his personality come out with them, because I really like all these people. We then catch up with Chloe and her friend at a bar. She talks about how cathartic the reunion was and how good her relationship is with all of the men. On the other side of that, she does talk about how she was not supported at all by the other women.
I wonder how that came about, because as Chloe's entering the show, she has a clean slate. I wonder what that moment was where the other ladies said, she's not our vibe. Or we're not vibing with her.
Yeah, I totally think it's the mean girl thing. I think that they had their little clique and it was no new friends and that was it.
Here's another thing I'm thinking about. The plan is this whole, it was decided on by everyone. They agreed to it. We're going to set our own story. We're not going to let production run with it, whatever it was. But it seemed like, why did the women form this crew of four and didn't include Chloe? Like, in some ways, it makes me think they were also making like their own version of the storyline.
They had like their own mini pack.
And it's almost like Chloe probably told them early on, like, that's weird, or I'm not going to be a part of this. And they said, well, you're out.
I think it could even be more simple than that. Say you're filming together. I don't even know if they had any scenes together now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, that's fair. Okay.
Let's say they're filming together and the girls like never hung out with her off camera. Always were in their little thing. And so she was just like, well, I guess I'll hang out with the guys or hang out alone. And then it just naturally came like a bad energy between them. And then it turned into, oh, you're trying to steal all of our husbands. You're just bonding with the guys. And it's like, well, no, because you guys are in a clique, and is the only thing I can do to be on your good side is to sit alone.
That was something that stuck with me, is how do you get to a point where you all somehow collectively think that I'm trying to steal your man?
Yes.
What? And everyone wholeheartedly denies this. They're like, that's not a thing at all.
But I don't believe anyone anymore.
That's okay. Okay.
So I'm like, Lauren, I love her, but I do not believe when she says that Chloe became irate. I will save my reasoning, but I don't.
The reason I tend to believe Chloe and the other dudes is because they also didn't sell themselves very well on the show. So I just can't imagine Chloe watching the show and then thinking, yeah, that's somebody I would date. I just don't see that.
Later on, Chloe talks about how like amazing the guys were, but that's hard to say because like you're not in a relationship with them. It's really easy to be like friends with people from all different types of backgrounds and everything like that. But to be in a relationship with someone is way different.
That's fair, but that could mean that they're just better friends.
Yeah, and that's fine. But it's just not the same. At this dinner with her friend, Chloe talks about the burner accounts for the first time. This is another thing that keeps getting brought up. I wish we had more information, such as like, why do you think that the girls are behind it? I need more than just, yep, fact, burner accounts, it's them.
It always fascinates me when someone calls out that they think someone has a burner, or let me take a step back. They must have mentioned something that definitely nobody knew. But the ladies group.
That's what I'm thinking. Then the topic of kind of the internet community, the viewers talking about how Michael and Lauren should have been together. Chloe says that it ignited something within Lauren and she investigated, but she forgets where Michael's loyalty lies.
I'm confused here too, because did Lauren investigate while they were in a relationship or after they were in a relationship? Because if Lauren investigated after Chloe and Michael's relationship was over, what would it matter? So I don't understand Chloe's terminology when she says where his loyalties lie. I mean, do you expect him to not? He's a free man. Do you expect him just not to date any other women, even if they were on the show or not?
Well, this is where I kind of go back to the gals. So they're accusing her of taking all the men, or like trying to, or being flirtatious, whatever the heck that means. I mean, do they have a leg to stand on?
They say that when one of the women actively investigated poaching one of the men.
How so?
As far as Lauren investigating if Michael was into her or
oh,
if they
is that what you took that as?
Yes.
Oh, I was so confused. I have no idea what that meant. Okay.
Yes. You see what I mean? There's actual evidence of one of the group of
What's
ladies.
What's the evidence?
That Lauren went to investigate if Michael might have been into her.
Oh, I don't know. Really?
Yeah.
Is that totally over my head? Okay, maybe everyone's on that page and not me.
Please let us know somehow, someway, comments, Podbean, Twitter, anything. If I'm one of us is reading that wrong.
Oh, I have no idea what I thought it was. So I'm just like surprised that came out.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And also, they said the internet kind of collectively went that way. I never went that way.
No, well, you're not on like the social media and stuff.
But even my personal opinion, I'm not thinking my first pick wouldn't be Michael and Lauren being a match.
Okay.
That wouldn't be my, what would be your first option? The people that didn't work out, well, nobody worked out.
For the
entire cast, who would you think would be good matches together?
No one. Like literally no one. I just know too much about these people now.
I think Michael and Claire could be interesting.
That's wild. No.
I think.
No. Well, Claire, you know, Claire with her cat paw versus this really flirty guy. No. She can't. No.
No. He would take her out of her bubble for sure.
I don't think she likes to be out of the bubble.
But he would.
He is very suave.
Who else? This is. Okay. Cameron. I'm sorry. Cameron's getting nobody.
No.
Brennan's getting nobody.
No one. Orion, no one.
Orion's getting nobody. I think Austin could maybe.
See, I see an Austin and Claire potentially.
I see an Austin and Claire potential as well. I think they're both a little bit more reserved, or they're more like very careful about how they're portrayed on camera.
Yes.
And I think they could have easily aligned on that.
We have Orion, Michael, and Austin hanging out, drinking and smoking cigars. Really just one of them was randomly smoking a cigar.
Also another thing, smoking cigars.
Way too classy for me.
Way too classy. Something I don't think I've ever smoked a true cigar. I smoked a Black and Mild when I was like 20.
We had a phase.
Like 1920 maybe.
Yeah.
But a real cigar with a drink on the side, never been done, but it does look funny to me.
It looks so fancy.
Like the way they were holding the cigars, I'm like, is that how you're supposed to hold a cigar?
I think so. It's not like a cigarette.
They were kind of, yeah, it was kind of like facing outward from their body and like in between like their main three finger. I don't know. It's just something.
Three.
I don't know how to describe it, but if you watch the episode, clearly, whatever. But you get what I'm saying. I just, not my vibe, but hey, a lot of people are into cigars. Pretty cool. And I appreciate that it was a scene. I don't think we've ever had a cigar smoking scene like this.
I don't think so.
Which is really cool to see something different.
Orion invites the boys to a Reiki healing and cacao moon ceremony. He does also talk about his one regret is not moving in and cutting Lauren's experience short. Which, like, does he really? Or is that like the one thing he could think of?
That's easy to say, but in reality, it would have been way worse if you stayed, moved in, went through the experiment. I think it would have been worse.
Yeah, there was no reflection or anything where he would have grown or had the info now if he is grown at all.
Side note, something I do wish or want to try with you or just on our own is the sound therapy. It always looks so interesting.
I'm down. We need to be healed.
Oh, for sure. I'm down. For sure. Definitely need healing.
Then Claire and Emily meet for sushi. And I always think it's funny when I watch shows and no one's eating, but they have like this beautiful mountain of food in front of them. But now I get it. And I would prefer people to not eat on camera because Emily just shoving food in her mouth and talking with rice in her cheeks was not it.
Yeah, it does make a scene a little bit more exciting when there's like this beautiful food and spread on the table. But yeah, you're right. Like eating it as you're trying to film, record audio and have a good conversation, like you really can't eat.
Now I'm a foodie.
I'm a foodie too. It'd be hard to resist. It'd be
resist. So we would want to eat.
It would be hard for me to not want to just get a little snack, a little fry, a little French fry.
So I feel for her.
And plus when you're filming, we already know these are long shoots. Like I cannot just have the food sitting there forever. Like it's getting cold. I'm hungry. I'm
just feel like,
hungry.
Don't look at me.
At this point, the mic's probably picking up my stomach. Like yeah. We got to keep it moving.
Emily says, we're happy. We're healthy. We're feeling and looking hot. She also says, most people think I'm cute. Not Brennan. I'm just like, God, girl, we gotta move on. It's been months. They also say like, oh, people that believe Brennan and Cam, like, I'm sorry. And I was like, I mean, you didn't make yourself look that great.
Like you said, I am surprised that it's been many months up to this point. And these feelings, it almost seems like from the reunion we just watched, almost like from a emotion standpoint, almost like no time passed.
Not for Emily.
Like it's just the exact same mode. It's like, wait a minute. You're going to therapy. You're healing. You're getting better. Why are we still stuck here? Why aren't you past this and just like, I've moved on. I'm happy with my life. I'm beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. It's like you're still there.
Claire says it's important for Emily to process the past, but we're getting stuck in the past at this point. We then see a scene of Chloe calling Michael. They're very flirty. I'm surprised they had not talked in months. I think Chloe still really likes him too.
She was the only one who said yes on decision day, right?
Well,
besides, yeah. I do wonder if Michael has regrets on that. The way they communicate, the way they joke with each other, the way they banter. Why couldn't you just rekindle this and try again? Like, what is it about your relationship that can't get into that type of relationship?
He just doesn't want to be married. I mean, at the end when he started kind of being concerned about being married and he doesn't know if it's for him, which, buddy, way too late. I think, yeah, he's just a flirt. I think he's just not wanting to be married.
That makes sense. And Chloe is definitely on the path of she's ready to be married. Like, mm-hmm. I'm ready to find my husband.
Yeah, and I think that scared him. Chloe is putting together a volunteer day and asks Michael to come along. This is at the same place where she revealed she wants an animal sanctuary and 5 foster teens and the whole life plan.
I was curious, and I definitely might have missed this, but did we get what Chloe does on the regular? Like, does she work for like the city?
We missed it.
Because it's interesting that she has, which is good, this very strong energy towards helping this, essentially a shelter where they save animals and give them like a new life to kind of live out. Or it's farmed animals, right?
Yeah.
Farm animals, essentially, they're essentially giving them a life to live, until the end of their natural days.
Lauren, Claire, and Michael get together for drinks. Michael gives Lauren an earring that she complimented in the past. See, a little flirty boy.
Stoking the fire.
Claire says that Lauren is the most flirtatious person, and so is Michael. So they're just, I don't even think they're into each other. I just think it's like fun flirting. It's fine.
I feel like they must cut some of this because maybe I have a bad sense, but I didn't get flirting in that moment.
I want to call you out so bad right now.
Why? Do it.
You are perceived as flirting a lot.
Wild. Being nice is flirting.
It's the niceness and the attention. I know you don't mean it, but people pick that up as
weird. You just can't be nice anymore. You can't have a conversation.
You are paying too much attention to people.
Oh my gosh, you're having a conversation with me? You must be flirting.
And you'll remember those facts for some reason about that person for like ever.
I think people are just really interesting.
They are super interesting.
I always tell you, and we've mentioned on the pod, like everyone has such a unique story, and I think it's so valuable. And when you get to know someone, it's like really ask about them, like who they are, what makes them them. It's so fascinating. I mean, going back to one of our idols of the great Bourdain, I mean, that's essentially like was his job of like getting to the deep of knowing someone, like to the root of who they are. And that's just so fascinating to me.
Same. And I swoon for Anthony Bourdain.
But so. when you try to do that to a person you don't know, it's like you're flirting.
Well, here's what it is. I think it's so rare to find someone that does that and actually cares about your story. So it's not that you're flirting. It's that you're actually giving someone like attention that I think everyone should get.
I also think they get a little nervous when they're talking about themselves.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable to talk about yourself.
Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, we're trying to essentially say that I'm a terrible judge of what flirting is.
Oh, yes, yes. Because you're always perceived as, well, not always, but a lot of the time. Whereas just having a good conversation.
Whereas Michael probably is flirting.
No, I think he really is flirting just all the time. You're not bringing earrings for girls. Like, no. Don't worry. Claire talks about her new man.
Every scene. Take another shot.
We find out that even Lauren's family wondered why they were not matched. That's interesting.
Again, not what I was wondering. Not where I was vibing. And then he asks, oh, is that what your dad said? And she's like, definitely not. Also, another thing I thought was interesting that Claire just had to mention that her boyfriend has visited. It's like, oh, okay, so he's not the creepy online boyfriend you've never met. Got it.
When she kept talking about it, it just reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite. And he's like, I've been chatting online with babes all day.
All day.
The scene ends with them saying game recognizes game. And I was like, yeah, y'all are just flirty. It's fine. Having fun. Becca meets her friend at a bar. They talk about the relationship and how it has changed her. Becca seems really sad. Her aura, her face. She is in a process of not only dealing with this, but I think figuring herself out. As she said, this was like a new version of herself. And maybe one that she didn't love.
I read it more as the way she came off in the reunion. And even when she's calling Austin out for hanging out with the producers, like, I imagine she doesn't get angry much or she doesn't get to that level often.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was at that level at different moments throughout the show, I'm sure it led her to see a side of her that she did not enjoy and probably thought, how can I get away from that side of myself? Because that's not how I perceive myself.
Yeah.
Which must be a tough thing to go through, right?
Yeah, I would never want to see that of myself on camera for the nation to see. That sounds awful. Then we see Chloe, her friends, and the guys get together for their time at the animal sanctuary. Brennan and Cam really phoning it in, but that's fine because I would see myself doing the same thing.
I was proud of Brennan for even showing up because I had little to no faith that he was going to do anything for any part of this episode at all.
Cam made it very clear. I'm sick. Stay away. I'm just here for my contract.
That was a weird ass cop out. Like, yeah, I don't want to get close to anyone. Yeah, I'm sick. Staying away. I'm like, it's fine. That's fine. We're all medicated. We'll be all right.
Little update on Brennan and Cam. Brennan has a girlfriend. She's awesome and says, stay tuned. Which, like, I don't want to hear anymore. It's fine.
It's like, I'm not staying tuned.
And Cam is randomly looking into going to Puerto Rico for tax incentives. That's random.
The weird Cameron, like, just a weird humor. Like, I don't see him moving to Puerto Rico.
Maybe. I don't know. Chloe talks about how her life immensely improved when she cut the girls out of her life.
You know, Chloe is not shy to throw the ladies under the bus.
I like it. Does that make me not a girl's girl? Maybe, but I just hated the little clique energy.
You know what would give me a more realistic view of their situation and something they steered away from in this episode. Chloe talks about herself, her emotional state as reflective to the women, but we don't see the women give their opinions on Chloe.
No, not really.
And I think that's probably for a good reason, because I think they probably see her as the enemy and their description of her would not be good.
But I want to see it.
The bummer in that is that I'm sure one or two ladies are probably way more strong about that than others. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like you're in with this group so much that it's almost like you can't say no to anything they say as a group.
Yep, exactly.
So even two of them are like, yeah, we hate Chloe. And then you're kind of like, well, this is my group. Like,
yeah, I hate Chloe too.
a little fist.
She talks about the mean girl behavior, about the horrible things written about her on Facebook. And she says, if you haven't grown out of that, you're not ready to be in a relationship. She has taken them all off of social media and she's done with it.
Also, it must be tough, even if you don't engage in social media. In some way, it's obvious that Chloe does follow, whether it's groups or pages or some things about the show. But it seems like that would be tough to do from going on a show like this, because there is sadly a lot of negativity that goes that the community does bring, right? There's a very positive side of the community. There's the indifferent, there's the negative side. Would you be on it like that if you were on a show?
No, I want to interact with no one and I want to know nothing said about me.
I want to say I would be the same way.
Okay, a Leo over here, you're going to be basking in it.
I mean, no, but what if I'm the villain? I'd feel so bad.
Yeah, maybe.
So maybe I'd want to steer away and I'd hope I wouldn't be the villain.
But if you were the heartthrob, oh my God. Every fan page following.
Every fan page, for sure.
Retweeting
for
everything. Sure. Hey, at least you admit it. Then we see Austin and Michael talking to Chloe's friend. I laughed out loud when Austin said that someone said, he looks like Ted Bundy if Ted Bundy had zero sex appeal.
That's a good one.
That is a really good one. Props to whoever did that. Austin also talks about how he had trouble coming to terms with what his family would hear about his sex life from being on the show. And I just thought, like, wow, tell me you've never watched the show without telling me you've never watched the show.
But that does confirm more of why his actions, well, he was just really aware of how he was being portrayed and he was just more conservative. And I think Becca was so much more open about things that also led them to have just personalities that just weren't vibing.
And we all know I'm kind of a prude. So, like, that's reason number 101 why I would not go on reality TV.
Honestly, me too, though. Like, I wouldn't put it all out there on this TV show. Like, I don't want any of my family getting into my business like that.
Yeah, the kiddos. Like, we don't need any of this. Austin did confirm he's not a virgin, though, and I did wonder that.
You did for a moment there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. But talking about how he's kind of more private and he was worried about what his parents would think, it all comes together. When Michael and Chloe are talking, she says that she's not going to introduce herself as a divorcee. And I thought, like, yeah, I don't think I would either. It was a few weeks. Later on, I would probably be like, okay, so I was on a show and I was legally married, but I would try to get it annulled personally. So it wouldn't even be on my record. I don't even want a divorce. I want an annulment.
That's got to be interesting, too, in future relationships, because if you mention that, I mean, the person's immediately going to go research you.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
They're going to watch any episode that you're on or featured in. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's going to lead them to form an opinion. Could be positive, could be negative, and hopefully it's positive. But if it's negative, I mean, what if now, and I'm sure past folks can talk on this, is like, does that impact you finding a partner in the future in a negative way?
Yeah.
Because all we hear about is people that, well, we do hear about like just people that are just mean in the comments, but we hear about folks where you think they've maybe been, they haven't been given a fair shot. Mm-hmm. And then like, oh yeah, my DMs are popping. Like it's, you know, my DMs are going, but we don't really hear about, a situation where, yeah, I tried to date this person. They looked me up. They watched the show. They were like, no, thanks. Like, that was a bummer in how that show could impact my possibilities of finding someone.
Also, that's so lame.
It would be pretty lame because you're not giving this person a shot.
Yeah. Then we see almost a diary cam of Lauren, which I really question the timeline of this. I feel like they just asked Lauren to film something about the Chloe situation. I don't think this was a diary cam and that they're trying to basically insinuate that this just happened and she just got off her computer. You know, like, I don't know why this is in here because I think the drama was so long ago, but they wanted something, so they maybe asked her.
But also, I'm surprised that this far in this process, like, we still have diary cams? Like, when are you taking those back?
And this was the only... Oh, I think they just film it with their iPhone. Gotcha. It's not a real thing. Gotcha. But this was, like, the only one in the entire episode. Lauren talks about how Chloe became irate when she followed Michael on social media. Lauren says she apologized and removed Michael, but said it didn't matter because Chloe said it was the ultimate betrayal. Lauren says she doesn't really get it because, hey, she's friends with Austin. And I'm like, what's Austin? Who's Austin to either of you guys? Nothing.
I was surprised to hear that this would bother Chloe as much because, you know, there might be a side of like, you know, the guys over there, the ladies over here. But in the end, you are one unit that you're this season's cast. You're like, you're kind of always thought of as like that season. So I would think naturally you would like support each other, follow each other on socials or just anything like that. And I thought it was interesting that she felt so strongly about Lauren following Michael.
But I don't believe it. Like, I don't think this is the story.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. You don't believe anything now.
No, I've been lied to for 6 months. Why would I believe any of these people?
Oh, you won't even give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, it's gone. Interesting.
Not these people.
Interesting.
Okay, I do not believe that this is the way that went down. I think that the girls had their clique. They excluded Chloe. She naturally went with the guys or hung out with them, whatever you want to call it. Maybe, maybe not. There was this whole theory of like, oh, you're just trying to get in good with the guys. I don't think she was like, I don't think they thought she was stealing them, but whatever. You got in good with the guys.
Sure, sure.
So they're giving all this negative energy, giving her shit for getting along with the guys, being friends with the guys. Then you have Lauren try to befriend one of the guys. And I think Chloe just called her out and was like, you're giving me shit for so long for being friends.
Okay, that makes sense now.
It had nothing to do with it being like specifically Michael, or it did, but it's because she got so much shit from the clique.
So really, she would have probably had a similar reaction if it was any of the other guys.
Yeah, I think so. So it's not specific to that, or maybe it is because that is her ex-husband, and I do think she still really likes him. But
I just, being the ex-husband gives a little bit more weight to it. Yes.
And I don't think that, I mean, with how clicky you're being, yeah, stay away from her ex-husband.
Now, with the way you described it and defended it, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you on that one.
Is there a but? Because I was assuming
no,
there was
no,
okay.
No, there's no but. I totally agree. And even the way you broke it down, it honestly totally makes sense.
I'm always trying to fill something in, especially with this crew. She also says, her being Lauren, that if Michael is pursuing a friendship with Chloe, then it's better for her not to be in the mix with all that pettiness. So, yeah, I think everyone's hurling things at this point and no one's right. But it's not the way anyone is saying it is.
It is a bummer. And we talked about it in previous episodes where now there's been even more time. So when we mentioned stories and from ear to ear and time, and now it's so much time that how factual of a story are we getting for anything, which is a bummer.
None. Just nothing. Then we saw Emily at the therapist, which was fascinating to me. She says her brain is tired and she's always tired, and I've never identified more with Emily in my life.
Just tired gals.
She's had realizations about her family and has actually kind of cut them off for now. She talks about how Brennan was her dad in a lot of ways and how critical her dad was. I felt like Emily did 75% of the talking, but looking back on kind of my notes, I realized that that's probably for the best in this type of scenario. Kind of just get it all out. How are you feeling? What are these connections that you've made in your head?
So she made that she's had to cut out some of her family. And we mentioned in the previous episode that she should also reflect on some of her friends.
Oh, yes.
Because just the things that have gone down, it's almost like, I don't know if that's someone I would have as my friend.
Not at all. She talks about how she didn't know she had low self-esteem. And the therapist tries to kind of like get her to make a realization, but it went over her head a bit when he talks about how like, oh, you don't have to put other people down to bring yourself up. And she was just like, yeah, I've gone through a lot of things people couldn't. My 50% is better than most people's 100%.
Yeah, Emily was starting to lose me here. In some moment, didn't she talk about, like, most people haven't gone what I've gone through? But then it's almost like, have you even lived in another scene?
She goes back and forth a lot. I don't know. But I'm very happy to hear she's in therapy. Hopefully she makes some more connections and realizations and can move on better. We see another scene of Chloe and Michael going out together, but it's so much repeated information that I won't go through it all. They were super flirty, but again, I think Michael's just a flirt. He said there was one piece of clothing that she looked better in than him, and so he gave it to her. Hear me out. Did that top not look like something a Teletubby would wear? Had like the big silver square in the middle.
That's not where I was going.
First thing I thought of. Not because she looks like a Teletubby, but I'm just like, that's what they wear, basically. That's their skin, their clothes, everything.
I could see people just like making fun of Michael for like giving a sweater to Chloe. And it's like, why do you have a sweater like that? But let's be honest, for all the dudes out there, you know, there's articles of clothing that your ladies always wear that belongs to you. So calm it down.
But that's the thing. That's not his girl.
True.
Also, Lauren's not his girl, but he's being real flirty.
So is he being flirty to Chloe?
Yeah, but just to be flirty. The only thing I really want to bring up from this conversation is that Chloe said that they, meaning the women, are struggling with the world knowing their husbands didn't want them. And I was like, you weren't in a relationship with these people. Like, just as much as shit as I give everyone else of like, Claire, you were not in that apartment. You were not a part of that conversation. Chloe, reel it in a little because I really like you because you can't say that.
But you don't think she has some background information after being so close as all of the gentlemen?
But we can't believe them. Unreliable narrators, every single person here.
That's true.
This whole episode is just going to be me yelling the lies.
If only you did that as we're live watching the show. The lies.
Laura, Becca, Claire, and Emily go to the tattoo shop, but only Claire and Emily end up getting tattoos.
Oh, the two ladies that didn't are the smart ones.
I don't love the design. I mean, I get what we were going for, but it's not for me. It was just too basic of a wave. I'm all for the petite little tattoos. I think it's very cute.
Devil's advocate, in case you need to one, remove it, or two, go over it. It is very easy to. Oh,
you're right. You're right. Okay. And you can convert it into a lot or add to it.
Yes.
Okay. That's comforting then. It's Emily's first tattoo. They talk about it being permanent. And she says, unlike my husband who thinks this can just go away. And I'm like, oh, good. Just again, live your life, girl.
We can't stop. Like, we're still in that moment. I'm telling you, we got to get past that.
Just like in Mean Girls, when she's just like, oh, I hope he's brought up. Or I hope she's brought up, because it's just word vomit. Every time I'm away, I hope that someone brings her up so I can talk about her. It's exactly what Emily is going through. Claire was freaking out more than I realized she would, because she has multiple tattoos. So I was surprised that she was, like, so worried about it.
I think the location, I mean, when you think about under your wrist, you have all those veins, and you're like, I have this needle that's going to be poking right there. I mean, my veins are right there. That seems a little dangerous.
It seems uncomfortable. The strangest scene of Orion showing his friend his new Pontiac and them just whipping around in it. We're not even going to go into that, but he knows how to drive stick, which is pretty cool, I guess. Fun fact. Yay.
So is that reflective of, they're like, hey, Orion, we got to get together. We're going to try to give you a little bit of airtime. You know, think about maybe what you want to do. And he's like, I got it. I'm going to drive my buddy and my new whip.
That like, was it.
Okay. And it made it past some kind of checks. And like, we're going to air this. And like, really? Like, we got to fit 2 hours of content. We're getting 2 hours of content.
And they said that we need this. Michael and Chloe invited everyone. Well, really Michael, because he's kind of the olive branch or the link between everyone. They invited everyone for a night out, but only Austin and his roommate came, which is sad. It was a cute scene. Not a ton going on. I do not buy this mini storyline they're trying to sell that something would happen between Austin and his roommate. Hasn't happened yet. It doesn't seem like either one of them is interested.
Likewise, I think they've been roommates for so long that they are heavily on the like brother-sister end of the relationship.
Yeah. The girls in pink get together and they are all donating their wedding dresses to this charity. Sort of plans an entire wedding for these individuals, including providing the dresses and venues and everything that you would need for the wedding.
I like that they gave them that shout out because on the initial watch, you might just think, oh, they just, not just, but like, it's a big deal. Like you give them a wedding dress, but then they did mention like, no, it's like the whole wedding. I'm like, that's really fucking cool.
That's so nice. I did the opposite of donating my dress. It is heavily preserved in our closet.
It's sealed. It's not going anywhere.
It's on a cardboard bodice.
I mean, Ellie's already visualizing like this thing's going to be transformed to a new dress to her like future daughter or something.
Yeah. Or I said, if my niece wants it, girl, take it and do whatever you want with it. I would be so proud. But also, I don't want to put that pressure on anyone. So if someone comes to me, they go around talking about all their hopes for the dresses. And then at one point, we kind of get into talking about the relationships again. Lauren says she has no ill will to any of the husbands, but Emily says I do. She also has a revenge fantasy in her head. She hopes that in 20 years, when she's married, rich, and still hot, that Brennan comes out. We are watching this woman go through her first heartbreak. And I am so thankful that there was no social media or cameras in like middle school and high school. Like, that emotional, like, we don't need that.
I do hope they all get to a point where they could either make fun of themselves for moments they've had on the show and just look back and be like, wow, yeah, that was a shit show. They chuckle a little bit, but they could move on. I think we're definitely a long ways away from something like that happening, which is a bummer. It is a bummer because you definitely see people are going at different speeds to move past this. And I just hope the folks that are still working their way to recovering from this experience, because you know, I can imagine how something like this could impact you. But I just hope they can kind of get over it in the near future.
I still think it's so crazy that they said this woman who's never been in a relationship before needs to be married.
You know, let's talk about that. MAFS needs, or their producers, like they need a reality check.
Yeah.
Of like, you need to get some shit in line. You need to get recruiting in line. Why are we recruiting people that aren't even, I mean, I know it's because no one's signing up for the show, but like, you're just reaching out to people that it's not even like they've shown interest in being reached out to. It's just like, yeah, this person would be interesting. I saw their social media. I'm like, why?
Yeah, just like, on dating sites and stuff. Like, they might as well just be cold calling people at this point within the Denver area code because it's the same.
Because I can see a lot of folks putting the blame on the cast, but it's like, no. Look at their approaches to how they're finding people.
Mm-hmm.
You're not finding folks that are legitimately like, I want to be married. I am ready. I have dated. Like, let's do this. It's almost like people are thinking, I mean, yes, when they get interviewed and they go through the process, yeah, the interview sells nice and they say those things, but that's not the reality of it. That's really not.
No, and even Michael says he was recruited. Like, it just sucks. It doesn't make a good outcome, and I think that's been proven.
And like, when we see folks that are not committed or weren't, they didn't come into this as committed as they probably should be, it kind of we've seen what it leads to. I mean, look at this season. It was just doo-doo. It was not good. And that's a bummer. And I know it's gotta be really hard to ask people to like go on TV, document your first marriage, hopefully your forever marriage.
Yeah.
And then like, it has to work out. Like that's really tough to find people. And maybe the show from a cast person's perspective, it's a tough show to be on.
And that wasn't a slight at Emily. It's more of a slight to, again, recruiting producers, because, man, you really put her in a vulnerable spot going through this as a first relationship.
And even from Brennan's standpoint, he's not signing up to this thinking, I'm going to be some woman's first real relationship.
Mm-hmm. All the girls start tearing up. They're talking about how they're healing differently. And then Emily talks about how they are all her family. To end the episode, we get a slow-mo of the guys' hopes, dreams, and what they learned. We see everyone have their footage that could be seen as their introduction footage, probably the first time we saw them, and then their transformation to where they are now in the same place. Spoiler. Also, it's funny to note that Chloe also had a segment in the guys' segment because she wasn't with the girls who were donating their wedding dresses. And that was it for the season. It has come to a close.
We made it.
We have made it. You know, along with recruiting, I wish they would listen to us when we say we do not need 2 hours of this show every week. And that's not even counting after party. Give me a 1 hour show and then a half hour after party. We're good.
I think it's just really hard to take things away when they have been given.
But I don't want it. Take it. I want to return it, please.
I think the voice that says we don't want it needs to be very loud.
I think it is. I mean, every time I look at like the Reddit or the social media, everyone's like, it's still going.
It's a combination of the length as far as months this show covers for being a 8 week show.
Yes.
And even the content being partly filler things, scenes that a lot of people don't care about. I mean, you voiced it a lot. You hate that they've, and honestly, it's so funny because this show reflects that of like, why are we focusing so much on these people being friends?
Yes.
And look at the ladies group in this season. I mean, they seem like they are bonded.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got very close, which is cool. That's cool. Like for you to develop that relationship. But in the show, it's like we're highlighting a little bit more of that than you being married and forming this bond with this person. I mean, maybe because they're not working out so early in the season, they can't really focus on that. But you want more, and correct me if I'm, you know, speaking for you here, you want more of that couples building a relationship.
Yes. I love love. Give it to me.
You're also not a fan of the apartments.
No, why are we all in the same building? They're probably all neighbors, like on the same floor.
Honestly, probably.
And I know we're going to see the exact same thing in Chicago. Because it's been, I mean, they've been married. Like, the show is basically wrapped there.
You know what is interesting? Where Kevin, and we defended Kevin when he's talking about, like, you disrespected the show. You disrespected the people that work on this show. Let's take a step back. This show is an experiment. And experiments change over time.
That's correct.
Like, you literally get data and we're like, yo, this shit's going like way off the deep end. Like, we need to adjust the trajectory.
Reel it in.
They've literally never gone off script.
No.
They've never changed things.
Spoiler, I work in medical research. If we did this, our funded would be ripped away.
Like, you went over 5? Like, yeah, you're not getting more money.
No, exactly.
Who knows? Again, it's like, no matter what, it'd have to go really bad for us not to be fans of Mavs anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm still here.
Obviously, we're still going to cover it and all that good stuff, but it is interesting for me, and I'm trying to be hopeful to see next season to see if anything does change. Mind you, in the past, it has shown me that things won't change, but getting a new cast of characters, hoping for, you know, the new environments, new locations, new relationship building situations. I'm hopeful, but I'm hesitantly hopeful.
Yeah. My bar is so low. If there's not a big scheme and a lie to my face for 6 months, I'll be pretty happy with it. In other news, but related to Mavs, Brianna of Vincent and Brianna is pregnant with their second child.
Woohoo!
Isn't it so funny? Kind of at the end of their season, we were like, does she like him? I don't know. It's kind of weird.
They were an underdog.
Yes. And now look at them.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I love them.
They're a great representation of, again, like, just give this person a chance.
Growing in love.
Yeah. Grow in love. And that would be interesting to find out if they were folks that were recruited or if they signed up for the show.
Exactly. Of the people that are together. Like, honestly, give me a break in seasons and just let me catch up with Amani and Woody and Brianna and Vince and just like all these great people.
It's so funny. Like, if we ever did a rewatch thing, the shows start so fast. It's like, can I even get a rewatch in? Like, the show's already going.
No rewatches. You just got to go. All right. We have to go make dinner. Signing off for this season of Married at First Sight.
Thank you all so much for tuning in for this season. We really appreciate you all. It is a bummer that nobody made it, but we are rooting for their future and rooting on the next cast.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.